KGRG FM, KGRG FM, HD1 Auburn, also broadcasting on K207 AP, Sumner Lake Taps, 89.3 FM. You're listening to The Buzz, and I Survived Snowpocalypse. Surprisingly, for yesterday being like 40 degrees, there's still a crap ton of snow outside. So I'm going to post my snowpocalypse pictures up on Facebook and on Twitter at TheBuzzKGRG. Go and share yours! Or if you have your snowpocalypse requests, if you're still snowed in, whatever, you can call 253-833-5004. But we have a really awesome show for you this morning. We've got your word of the week. Of course, we got your geeky news. We got your six-pack this morning. I'm going to talk about some stuff that I usually do during my snow days. But I don't really get any actual quote-unquote snow days as an adult anymore. It kind of sucks. But we got that going on. I got my review of the morning after release party, and that was a ton of fun. Those ladies killed it last Saturday. If you didn't go, you're going to regret it. But luckily, I have another chance to see them on February 11th, so I'll let you know how to do that. Plus, I have some movie tickets to give away, along with some Real Big Fish tickets. That's right, if you want to see Shaun of the Dead at the Grand Movie Theater in downtown Tacoma, that's a brand new partnership we're going to start hooking up with, and we're going to have one of the members of Weird Elephant, they're the people putting on the show. They're going to be in the end of the month. We're going to start hyping that show up and giving those movie tickets away. So those are movie tickets to see Shaun of the Dead in downtown Tacoma, along with Real Big Fish. That's coming up real soon. But if you stay tuned, after Time to Go Home by Chastity Belt, we got your geeky news on 89.9 KGRG FM. You're listening to The Buzz, Snowpocalypse Edition.
Geeky news.
89.9 KGRG FM. You're listening to The Buzz, and it's time for Geeky News. We've got a lot to get to this morning. A ton of stuff happening in the world of Geeky News, and oh man, a lot of it, not gonna lie, it's has to do with Avengers Infinity Wars and Guardians of the Galaxy. But hey, what you gonna do? Those are movies coming up. So let's go ahead and get into your geeky news this morning with, like I said, Guardians of the Galaxy. First new geeky news story we have is that it's not the Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. It fits into the Avengers Infinity War storyline, but it's not exactly tied in. One quote from Kevin Feige, who's a producer at Marvel Studios, said, quote, "I always say all the movies, Civil War is a standalone story, but that fit into it. This is even more of a standalone story than that. This is about the characters, this is about their evolution as heroes, as their internal family, as the group, a group of characters known as the Guardians of the Galaxy. You know the way this film ends, and the team at the end will inform you future things, but there's nothing that nods directly towards it." The end being the Guardians eventually making their way to Earth and the Infinity War is happening. Other weird part about this is that Thanos is actually the main character of the Avengers Infinity Wars. For those of you who don't know, Thanos is that weird purpley alien guy who's shown up periodically. He showed up in, I know that he showed up for sure in the first Avengers movie. He was the one who gave Loki the staff. He also showed up in Guardians of the Galaxy at one point, and then he's sort of been quiet since then. Now, Thanos, his whole deal is that he has the Infinity Gauntlet, and by the time Infinity Wars happens, he's going to get all the stones to make him one of the, you know, biggest, baddest dudes in the universe. And this is an interesting take. And I'm actually really glad that Marvel is taking this route with this movie. You never really see movies where the villain is the main character. I think the closest we got with that was Loki from the first Avengers movie, where, yeah, you had the movies about the Avengers getting together, but that main villain, Loki, he ended up stealing the show. I'm not sure of anybody who was really angry with his appearance, and he had a way of making everybody sort of universally love him despite the fact that he's one of the most despicable people in the movie. But the weird part about this is you have the villain being the main character in a movie about a group of heroes. a quote from another quote from Kevin Feige, who is the director from Marvel Studios, says, quote, Thanos in Infinity War is in a movie that has a lot of characters, and you can almost go as far as to say he is the main character. That's a bit of a departure from what we've done before, and that is appropriate for a movie called Infinity War. So I'm really excited for this. And actually, he's not going to be the main character of Guardians of the Galaxy, he's going to be the main character of Infinity Wars. Next geeky news story we have, Pacific Rim 2, we actually have new set pictures, and if any of you have listened to this show for any period of time, you will know that this is one of my favorite movies of all time, or at least the first one was. It's not trying to be anything flashy. Yeah, the storyline's kind of, if you're into movies with storylines, this isn't the movie for you. It's giant robots smashing the faces in of giant monsters. They don't try to sell anything less than that. There is a story to keep the plot moving and make it so that there's a reason why you have giant monsters randomly showing up out of the ocean and why you have giant robots fighting them. But it's just that. It's not trying to be super deep or anything like that. Yeah, you have characters making connections, but oh my god, I couldn't be more excited. Both Scott Eastwood and John Boyega, who's going to have a massive year this year, have shared new behind-the-scenes pictures from Pacific Rim Uprising. And the scene, the pictures look sick. The robot looks amazing. But filming on Pacific Rim Uprising continues down under, while we're still being granted more and more glimpses behind the scenes with Steven DeKnight helmed sequel. First up, Scott Eastwood, Suicide Squad director, has posted a picture on Instagram of his character Lambert in action. He's not quite sure where the dog tags or sunglasses around his neck are, but very little has been given away about the film in general. That's really exciting news. The last bit of geeky news we'll go over for this morning is we're going to have X-Men Supernova filming this summer, and I'm not sure why we need this movie. Quick synopsis of the movie. Gathered together by Professor Charles Xavier to protect the world that fears and hates them, the X-Men have fought many battles, been on adventures that span galaxies, which isn't true, grappled enemies of limitless might, but none of this could prepare them for the most shocking struggle they would ever have to face. One of their own members, Jean Grey, has gained power beyond all comprehension, and that power has corrupted her absolutely. Now they must decide if the life of the woman they cherish is worth the existence of the entire universe, and they've made this movie before. I'm going to tell you this right now. If you expect to go into this movie seeing anything different from X3 The Last Stand, oh man, you are wrong. That's the plot of X3. Yeah, you have the whole Magneto thing happening where he gathers up all the other mutants and they have the giant battle against the X-Men and blah, 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 blah. But there was that storyline where you have Jean Grey, who comes back from the dead and decides that, you know what, I'm going to be evil. I'm not going to say don't watch this movie because this is going to be a James McAvoy one, and I loved him as Professor Xavier. The series of X-Men since Days of Future Past and First Class have been my favorite. But you're just lying to yourself if you think this is going to be anything different from what happened in X3. That's your geeky news for this morning. Stay tuned, because after Time Bomb by Rancid, we have your first chance to win Real Big Fish tickets on 89.9 KGRG FM. You're listening to The Buzz.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news. Breaking news.
Breaking news.
This hour's news is brought to you by KGRG Presents Real Big Fish on February 11th at the Showbox Soto. You can catch Real Big Fish, and if you want to, you know, win free tickets, because that's a thing you can do. I got your free pair right in front of me right now. Number to call is 253-833-5004. That's 253-833-5004 to win your free pair of tickets to see Real Big Fish on February 11th. And to be honest, I'm probably going to go to that show so you can see me there.
Yes!
Well, let's go ahead and get into your news this morning. And we're gonna try to tackle a not controversial issue, but, you know, something that makes a little bit of sense, right? There's a proposed bill that is going to toughen distracted driving laws up here in Washington State, and as much as I'm for it, I'm probably one of the biggest offenders. State senators are considering a bill to toughen distracted driving laws. State law currently prevents texting and driving, but not things like maps or music. The legislation would make it legal or illegal to even touch your phone while driving and would double the fines for distracted driving. Cody Meyer's mother was at Tuesday's hearing, her son working as a flagger near Issaquah when distracted driver hit him late last May. His mother told Cairo 7 that after the crash that she hopes the story will encourage others to stop distracted driving. And the Senate bill actually has bipartisan support. Now, I would fall under this law. I use my phone a ton for the maps part. Same thing with the music sometimes. My aux cord jack is actually broken at the moment, but in my girlfriend's car, we'll take turns just, you know, sharing the aux cord. It's a thing we do. With the map, I can't go anywhere I've never been before without my map. And to be honest, I can barely make it home from those places without my map. So if they make it illegal for me to even touch my phone, then I'd have to actually go out and buy one of the stupid stand things that blocks your windshield. And at that point, I'm still looking at my phone, right? It's still defeating the purpose. I know you're not trying to, I guess, operate your phone while you're driving, but still, you're still getting distracted by it. So the fact that you can't even, like, I don't know. I still use my phone for the maps. So if they're toughening that up, I'm not sure what I'm going to do. Like, you can't not operate your phone operate your GPS while driving, right? Like, that's the whole point of the GPS. Are they going to tighten distracted driving laws on those GPS units and those people are trying to operate those? Because it's the same thing, right? If you're trying to put in a destination or whatever while you're driving on your just GPS without a phone, it's the same thing. But who knows? We'll see how it goes. Next bit of regular news we have. We all know adulting's hard. I can attest to that. Fortunately, there's a school for it now. Adult stuff, like changing a tire, filing taxes, or folding a fitted sheet can be a real struggle for the uninitiated, but to help, there's adulting school. And I kind of should probably go to this because, like, you don't learn how to do your taxes in high school. That's not a class that you can take, unfortunately. There are plenty of books and blogs on adulting, which Urban Dictionary defines as anything from paying rent to having a job to cooking dinner, but now there's the adulting school. Whether it's school's budgets being cut or not having home ec classes, those basics are being offered less and less by co-founder Katie Brunel said, "We're picking up where you're an adult and have gaps in your practical life skill knowledge, and we're going to provide that." The Portland, Maine-based startup bills itself as a community to help people become successful adults. It launched in 2016 with live events on topics like finance, relationship health, and DIY. There are companies that help with things like buying renter's insurance on a car, but the adulting school brings many of these issues young people face to one place. And it's been such a hit, online sessions are now being offered for $20 a month. Live sessions usually cost about $10. A therapist by trade, Winston, said the idea for the adulting school came from conversations with clients when she noticed many were missing life skills that in turn hurt their self-esteem. She began working on a summit that reached out to Brunel, who works in education, for help. Together, they turned it into a real thing. This is actually a thing I'd be interested in taking just to see how it would go. Again, I never learned how to do my taxes in high school, or even junior high for that matter. It's something that I figured out on my own, and luckily there's plenty of free software. Even you can go in those places that do yourself, like H&R Block, Jackson Hewitt, whatever place you want to go to and have people do it for you. But there aren't those places like, you aren't taught anymore how to do it by paper and just sort of turn it in. That's sort of a thing of the past. As for cooking, I was lucky enough to take a mandatory home ed class back in, I was like, ninth grade. And there was a cooking segment of the curriculum. I wasn't terribly good at it, and it wasn't terribly long either. It was maybe like a couple of weeks worth of classes, and these were classes I took 5 days a week. I learned a little bit about cooking. Like, I learned how to make an omelet. I learned how to make a scone. We had a chili cooking competition. But past that, you don't learn anything cool like how to make a steak, or that's something you'd have to actually take a cooking class for. In high school, there were cooking classes, but it was an elective thing. And it wasn't what my area of focus was. My area of focus was more into arts and communication. I was in band, I was in debate, so I didn't have the room in my schedule to take any of those cooking classes, and I didn't have the room in my schedule to take the auto classes. Luckily, at Green River College, we have fantastic auto classes here, but those were all things I never really got the chance to learn growing up. And it sucks to have to spend money for it now. You'd think that a community or a public education should be focused on preparing you to be a successful adult, but they, at this point, it just sort of seems like they want you to take that standardized test and just sort of get out. Last bit of news. This one's, you know what? Thanks, Obama. A drug dealer whose sentence was communicated by Obama was arrested on, you guessed it, a drug charge. In San Antonio, a 68-year-old San Antonio man whose life prison sentence was communicated by President Barack Obama is back in jail after authorities said he crashed his car into another vehicle while fleeing from officers following a drug deal. A federal magistrate judge on Friday ordered Robert Gill held without bail pending a hearing later this month. Gill was arrested in 1990 and sentenced to life for cocaine and heroin distribution conspiracy. While in prison, he studied law and petitioned the president for a second chance. Obama communicated Gill's sentence in 2015. And he's been working as paralegal at San Antonio law firm. He's now charged with possession and intent to distribute 500 grams more of cocaine. If convicted, Gill faced a potential sentence with mandatory minimum of 5 years, but could get up to 40. How stupid can you be to waste a chance given to you by the president? Like, dude reached out and said, you know what? You seem like a smart cookie. You seem like you turned your life around. I'm going to let you out of prison. You go and get your job at a law firm. Dude, that's not an easy job to get. Homeboy turns around and decides, you know what, I'm going to start dealing cocaine. I understand some habits are hard to break, but paralegals are going to make a decent chunk of change, man. I mean, I don't make a whole lot in the retail world, but I make enough to pay the bills, and that takes no formal training whatsoever. But that was your news on 89.9 KGRG-FM. If you want to call right now, 253-833-5004, I've got your free Real Big Fish tickets. It's honestly that simple. Just got to call 253-833-5004. In the meantime, I'm taking your Snowpocalypse request. Same number, 253-833-5004. We'll be back with Hash It Out after beer.
It's time to see what weird and crazy things are trending out there in the Twitterverse. This is Hash It Out, right here on The Buzz.
KGRG 89.9 FM, you're listening to The Buzz, and by God, is it hot as hell up here in studios. I swear, it's like, we're going to have a high of 44 degrees outside of red so far, but up here in the KGRG studios, there's no way it feels any less than, like, 90. Oh, my God. So if you're listening right now and you want to be a doll and, like, drop off a nice coffee or, like, a water, I'll take literally anything that's below normal room temperature right now. Call me at 253-833-5004. Let you know how to get it to me. But in the meantime, let's do some Hash It Out. It's where I find those hashtags that are trending on Twitter. Read my favorites. Maybe talk about them a little bit. We'll see. Still getting used to this hash brown thing. Also, if you want to bring me hash browns, that'd be great. Hash browns and like a nice coffee. You'll be my hero. It's 253-833-5004. But let's get into Hash It Out. First one is going to be hashtag lesser known road trip grams. Now, growing up on average, the road trip I'd make the most often would be down to Portland from Puyallup to Portland is about 3 hours, depending on the time of day. And, you know, go down there, visit the grandparents. I think the longest one I've ever gone on is down to Sacramento in California. And that was to hang out with some of my mom's friends or something. It was weird. And honestly, I hated it. The worst part about road trips for me was, like, I typically wouldn't drive. I'd be the one being the passenger. So I'd fall asleep during them, and the most disorienting thing in the world is when you fall asleep during a road trip, and you wake up and you're in like a completely other city, right? But let's get into hashtag lesser known road trip games. First one, the crumb game. Object, who can make the most crumbs in the fastest time in order to make mom mad? It was funny, growing up, my mom's car was her baby, but she was just god-awful at keeping it clean. She'd vacuum it, whatever, like once every 3 months, you know, spring cleaning, whatever. Try to clear out all the crud in the back seat. But once she cleaned out, she'd have the no food rule. Same thing when she shampooed the carpets in the house, right? No eating in the living room, no eating in the car. If you're going to eat, you got to eat outside. You got to wait till we're done, right? Yeah, that didn't last long. It lasts like a week. And then at that point, you know, all bets were off. We'll see. Next one, hashtag lesser known road trip games. This one's, you played in Seattle pretty easily. Was that a hipster or a hobo? Not gonna lie, if you look at my work ID badge that I have to use to get into the building, I definitely fall into that category for a little bit. Like, the beard game was strong, but it was like hobo strong. Like, full chin beard and everything. Next one we have is hashtag lesser known road trip games. I put tape on my mouth, sit in the back seat, and stare at other drivers. Now, that sounds super messed up, but that was always something that seemed sort of funny growing up, especially as a kid, doing those, like, take a piece of paper, writing on it, help, I'm kidnapped, put it against the window to see what sort of reactions you would get. Same thing with the tape, right? You put it over your mouth, see if you make people think you're kidnapped. Another thing I used to do driving on road trips was, like, that pull your horn thing where you just sort of do the downward fist pump is the best way I could describe it, and you try to get truck drivers to honk their horn. That was always fun. We'll do one more hashtag lesser known road trip games. Hashtag lesser known road trip games. Let's see how close we can get to the gas gauge to E before. This was a bad idea. Now, even not road tripping, I am the worst at this. Just in regular driving, I'm just like, you know what? It's Corvette tank. I bet I could get around for a little while longer. And then as soon as that gas light goes on, I panic. But it's always at that point where, like, the next freeway exits 10 miles away and I'm sweating bullets, not sure if I'm going to make it or not. It's awful. But let's go ahead and go on to our next hashtag. Hashtag, I could not be happier if. So, hashtag, I could not be happier if. Netflix Canada picked up the next two Karate Kid movies. Just watched the first one for nostalgia. So awesome. I would be pretty happy if anybody picked up the Rocky movies. Talking about old nostalgia movies, I just watched Creed for the first time, and it made me want to watch the old Rocky movies again. That's what I can say about that movie. It was good. It was, you know, a not Rocky movie. It was better than the last actual Rocky movie they did. But it's one of those movies I watched again at least once. Hashtag, I could not be happier if. You'd say, all I want is you. That's an adorable thing. Don't forget, Valentine's Day is coming up, I guess, next week, fellas. So, figure out something, right? Hashtag, I cannot be happier if that girl across the room that I have a crush on says hello to me. In high school? Yeah. That was me. Any sort of, you know, talking to somebody of the opposite sex was hard. It was real difficult. I wasn't the best with the ladies. So, whenever somebody voluntarily talked to me, it was weird. Weird's a good descriptive word for that, good adjective. And yeah, then you get your first real girlfriend and you find out she's crazy insanely jealous, so that makes, you know, trying to interact with women just that much harder. But luckily, you know, my mom was also the jealous type. Think of it like, any fans of The Waterboy out there? If you're a fan of The Waterboy, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. You can call me at 253-833-5004. We can talk all about this. My mom very closely resembled the mom from The Waterboy, where, you know, all girls are the devil, and the only girl you need in your life is your mama. Yeah, that was, no lie, that was me growing up, elementary school all the way through high school. It was real awkward, and I never brought any girls home. There you go. Hashtag, I cannot be happier if books were given away free at the library. Oh, wait. They are. I used to be really big into books. Not sure what happened there. I used to read a ton. And I'm not sure if it's like the expectation that my reading habits become more adult, and I'm not even sure what that looks like. Because I was really into the Harry Potter series, there was that Percy Jackson series I was really into, and there were even some more offbeat ones that, heck, even in, again, junior high and high school way back in the day, that was well over 6 to 10 years ago, I was part of, like, the book club at school. Gotta talk about being a, go over real with the ladies. Yeah, if that doesn't get, if book clubs don't get you in with the ladies, I don't know what does, but, yeah, I used to be really big into reading. Not sure what happened. And again, I think it's that expectation that as I grew up, my reading habits were expected to be a little bit more adult. But those are your hashtags for Hashed Out. Hashtag, I could not be happier if, or hashtag, lesser known road trip games. If you want to share a lesser known road trip game with me, or something that makes you super happy, call me at 253-833-5004. We'll be back with your word of the week after I've been dead all day by Bayside. You're listening to The Buzz.
You're listening to The Buzz on KGRG 89.9 FM. Without further ado, I bring you the word of the week.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
KGRG FM, KGRG FM, HD1 Auburn, also broadcasting on K207 AP 7 Lake Taps 89.3 FM. You're listening to The Buzz. It's time for your word of the week, where I try to expand your vocabulary. And I swear to God, I am regretting doing this. I'm so sorry. I want this meme to die so hard. It ruined Dr. Phil for me. If that's not the biggest hint ever, your word of the week is cash me outside. How about da? I'm so sorry this is a thing. But, you know, it's going around on the internet. The definition, of course, is on an episode of Dr. Phil, a quote-unquote difficult teenager, if you can call her that, addresses the crowd using the phrase, cash me outside, how about that? Basically, it means, come talk to me outside, in regular people talk, so that we can sort out our issues and potentially get into a physical fight. I hate the phrase. Again, it ruined Dr. Phil for me. I used to be a really big Dr. Phil fan. Inebriated. But I watched it. I used to go on YouTube all the time. And the catfishing episodes were my favorite. But let's talk about the phrase itself. Telling somebody to go outside so we can either, you know, kiss and make up. Or we altercate in some way. And growing up, God, this is a very, like, growing, coming-to-age episode for me. Holy cow, just very retrospective, and I'm feeling old about it. But, yeah, growing up, going through school, man, you have those issues with those kids that, you, for some reason, you just don't like. And fights happened. We all see them. There are those instances where, you know, you see those two people getting at it, the circle forms, and you usually get into it for good 5 minutes or so before campus security or whatever, you know, decides to come around and break it up. I almost got into a fight with the kid. You know, back when I was 90 pounds soaking wet, there was a kid who, personality-wise, we just didn't get along. He annoyed the hell out of me. I wouldn't call him a bully because he didn't exactly do anything to be a bully. He was just sort of a douche. I hated him for it, but it was one of those things where it was, nope, meet me at the Safeway parking lot. I'll bring my crew, you bring your crew. Let's figure this out. Luckily, both of us showed up, but we were too scared to actually do anything about it. But that was a thing. Growing up, well, now that I'm older, and I'd like to think I'm kind of an adult now, I don't want to fight people as much anymore. I'll jokingly tell people to fight me, but it's not a thing. Even with verbal altercations, I don't feel the need to get into it with people. I was in debate club, for God's sake. All about arguing. I would argue for fun as a hobby. But now, if people want to argue with me on the internet, whether it's a Facebook post or even in person, if they have any sort of disagreement with me, I just sort of say, cool. I let it go. I honestly couldn't care less. It's not worth my time. I think the thing that put everything into perspective for me was when I took an economics class. And the lesson was on, you know, how much you should charge for an item based off of demand and how much you think it should be valued. Obviously, at a certain point when you produce an item, there are costs to produce, there are costs to distribute it, and trying to sell something for anything less than what it costs to produce it, you're losing money, right? Now, we're going over what we think the most valuable things are. Whether it was everything from, you know, precious metals like gold, platinum, silver, to, oddly enough, my economics teacher said, if you want to deal anything, deal saffron, don't deal drugs. Saffron's way more expensive than drugs, apparently, and this economics teacher was kind of insane. But then he said something that really resonated with me. He said, the most important, valuable thing that you could ever own is your own time. Whatever you value your time at, like, whatever you use your time for, that's what you value your time at. If you just sit around and play video games, that's what you value your time at. If you work at a job for $13 an hour, you put a dollar amount on your time. If you spend your time hanging out with friends, the memories you gain from those experiences is how much that time was worth. So to waste time wanting to fight somebody, wanting to get into even a verbal altercation, to waste time arguing with somebody when the conversation is going nowhere, when you're not getting anything out of it, it's a waste of your time. It's a waste of the most valuable thing you could ever have in your life. So, yeah, just every time somebody wants to get into it with me, I'm like, cool, man. If somebody wants to get into a verbal discussion, we're actually talking about something, we're getting through to each other, and we're understanding where the other person's coming from, which is something I try to do actively, whether or not I agree with the person's viewpoints. That's a whole different thing, but just yelling at each other and getting angry, it's not worth anybody's time. So that's why this morning's word of the week was, unfortunately, cash me outside, how about that, on 89.9 KGRG-FM. If you want to call me at 253-833-5004 or tweet at me at TheBuzzKGRG, message me on Facebook, same deal, just search TheBuzzKGRG. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about a time when you told somebody to catch you outside, or somebody told you to catch them outside, or maybe, you know what? You're an adult now. You grew up, gosh darn it. And you're done with that. That number is 253-833-5004. And who knows, if you call in, I have some tickets laying around to catch, you know, real big fish inside at Chillbox or Shaun of the Dead at the Grand Cinema in downtown Tacoma. That's 253-833-5004. We'll be back after Nurse Ratcheted by Cherry Glazer. You're listening to The Buzz. The Interrupter is by my side on 89.9 KGRG-FM. You're listening to The Buzz, and it's time for our newest segment, The Situation. I really need to get some sort of sound effect for that. I guess the closest thing I have is this one? Sure! But The Situation is where we have a series of, you guessed it, situations, and each situation has, you know, every time you do something, there's a reaction, there's a consequence to every choice you make. So we have some situations and some consequences that go along with the situations. If you want to play along, call me at 253-833-5004. Message me on Twitter or on Facebook, or just tweet at us at TheBuzzKGRG, all the same. Let's get into it, shall we? First situation, and I like superpowers, right? Who doesn't? You gain 5 superpowers of your choosing, but 3 of your most hated enemies will gain 2 superpowers of their choosing and will team up to kill you. I mean, what defines a superpower, though? That's the real question. Let's get all philosophical with this, because my personal favorite superhero, Green Lantern. He himself technically doesn't have any superpowers. He wears a ring that allows him to do things based off of his willpower and imagination, right? And depending on who wears it, each person just sort of does something different. And each ring does something different. So it's the ring that has the superpowers. Does the ring count as one superpower? Because that's a pretty dope one to have. And I guess that'd be one of my five. And, like, five's a lot. And the ring includes flight, being able to breathe in space. There's a lot of stuff that comes along with it. So there's that. And, like, does being Batman count as a superpower? Like, knowing karate? For my second superpower, I'd be Keanu Reeves and know kung fu? I don't know. Those other four are hard. Then having three of your most hated enemies team up against you, that's basically the plot of the Arkham games, right? I recently started playing Arkham Knight. Might start streaming that if you've been following my live streams. I know I didn't do one last week, but we'll get to it, I swear. Let them. With my vast comic book knowledge, picking five, it's going to be tough to pick the five best ones because there are so many good ones I know. So let's see what three other people can come up with two apiece. They'll probably pick something stupid like, you know, flight or super strength, right? Those are easy. Do something fun like the heroes had my favorite superpowers of all time. Like, you had the lady who could freeze herself, or, like, you had... My God, I'm going to kill myself for forgetting his name. One of the brothers, he had the ability to just touch people and gain their powers. Boom! There's one of the five right there. You had the lizard dude. That was cool. So, yeah, why not? Let's see if those three other people can kill me, because I'd like to think I don't have that many enemies, but who knows? 71% of the internet said, yeah, screw it, give me superpowers. 29% said, I'm okay with people not killing me. Next situation. You could turn into any animal whenever you want, but that animal will turn into you for the time you're the animal. I actually read a book about this once. It was sort of a subplot. One of the minor characters, in order to avoid being captured or being seen or being killed, he transferred his consciousness into another animal. The main character didn't know that, so he just thought the animal following him around was just sort of nice and abnormally smart for a crow. But that character's body ended up just sort of going into a coma or just sort of acting crazy. It almost reminds me of, if anyone remembers Animorphs, does that ring a bell with anybody? Whether it's the book or the live-action TV show that used to be on Nick when they used to actually put out good programming. Oh my God. Screw it. Why not? I'd become an animal. It'd be fun. Especially if it's any animal whenever I wanted. And if that animal wanted to become me, I'd just lock myself in a room or like put myself in a closet or make myself real comfortable first. You know, make the animal as happy as possible. Maybe leave some food. I'd definitely gain a couple of pounds. But yeah, screw it. Why not? 62% of the internet agreed with me. They would also become any animal they want. And 38% said, you know what, animals? Stay out of my body. Next situation. I can relate to this a lot. It's really simple, but I can relate. The situation is, you get a sandwich, but you aren't really hungry. As a college student, I'm not one to turn down free food and aren't really hungry isn't not hungry. Boy, if I'm any sort of hungry, I will eat. Especially if I get to pick the sandwich, hell yeah, I'm eating that sandwich. Shoot, give me a foot long, I'll eat half of it now, we'll save the other half for later. But as of last week, I was in a weird stretch of I'm hungry, but I don't know what I want for food, resulting in me not really feeling all that hungry for anything. I'm not sure if anybody can relate to that. But, yeah, I'm always down for a free sandwich, man. If you want to bring me a sandwich, call me 253-833-5004. If you've checked out my Instagram, please bring me, like, some sort of beverage along with it, with ice, extra ice even, or maybe just a cup of ice. I'm, like, literal, if you could see this close, which is really, really close, to just, like, stripping down the boxers and running around campus, man. It is super warm up here. We'll call this our last situation of the morning. You will receive several $1 million properly invested to last you the rest of your life, but your mind will be erased and you'll have to grow up all over again in an adult body. I'm basically a child in an adult body anyway, so screw it. Give me $7 million or several $1 million. I can't cook for myself. I can barely make myself a sandwich. I can dress myself, but not all that well. When I went on that trip to South Carolina, even one of my aunts was just like, Corey, that shirt you're wearing does not match with your shorts. And I'm just like, I don't care. I barely wear shorts as it is. I don't know what shorts are. I live in Washington, man. What can I do? What can I say? So yeah, I can barely cook or dress myself. So yeah, screw it. Give me some money for being myself. 40% of the internet said, I'll take the money. 60% said, I'll stay being an adult. That was the situation on 89.9 KGRG FM. Stay tuned to The Buzz. We got your news coming up after the Aquabats Pizza Day.
Breaking news.
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 This hour's news is brought to you by KGRG Presents Real Big Fish at Showbox. That's going to be on February 11th. If you want free tickets to see Real Big Fish perform with Anti-Flag, you can call 253-833-5004. I got your free tickets. I'll also be tossing in a pair of tickets to see Shaun of the Dead at the Grand Cinema in downtown Tacoma. That's going to be on March 4th. So yeah, plans, you know, this week, you got plans next month. It's going to be a ton of fun. That's 253-833-5004, KGRG presents Real Big Fish. And I'm going to go. So get those tickets, go with me. It's going to be a dope show. But let's go ahead and get into some news. And first news story I have, I can't believe this is a thing. Like, why do we need to be having this discussion? Funeral directors are asking, or ask the public to stop taking quote-unquote funeral selfies. That's right, I'm going to repeat this for you. Funeral directors ask the public to stop taking funeral selfies. Have you ever been to a funeral? I've been, unfortunately, this is really depressing to say, way too many funerals. I've been to funerals for friends' parents, I've been to funerals for my own parents, grandparents, you name it. Luckily for not for a sibling, but by God, a funeral is not a place to take a selfie. What the hell is wrong with you people? In Salt Lake City, in the age of social media, the activity of taking your own photo and uploading it for the public admiration has become commonplace, but there are limits to, where you should be taking a selfie? Some funeral directors are saying yes. A Canadian funeral director recently spoke out against the trend of funeral selfies to Radio Canada's Greville and Martin and asked that people reconsider breaking out their phones during memorial services. Quote, in many funeral parlors, we have very clear rules about limiting selfies, said Dennis DeRochers, president of the Cooperation of Funeral Directors of Quebec. Or we tell the public that families don't want selfies. Funeral selfies are not, however, limited to Canada. They've become popular around the world. There was the time Denmark's Prime Minister Helle Thorning-Schmidt took a selfie with President Barack Obama and British Prime Minister David Cameron at Nelson Mandela's memorial service in 2013. And then there are times where, like, I'm looking at the article right now, there's a dude, like, next to an open casket that looks like his maybe, like, dead aunt or grandmother or something. And he took a selfie with the dead body. I don't want to see that as somebody who's not related to that person or even knows him. I don't want to see dead bodies. I can't even watch horror movies because I don't like seeing dead bodies. What the hell is wrong with you people? Jesus. Please don't take funeral selfies or I'm going to cause you to have your own funeral. Yeah. Next news story, a little bit more local. State lawmakers are considering lowering the legal blood alcohol limit, which I honestly disagree with. The state legislature is considering lowering the legal blood alcohol limit in Washington. The legislators held the first hearing on the bill last Tuesday. If the bill passes, the alcohol limit would be lowered from current 0.08 to 0.05. Cairo 7 talked to a bar owner, says he is for anything that discourages people from drinking and driving. Oh, so I'm actually for this then, because it's increasing, or it's decreasing the, it's increasing, words, use your words, Cork. It's decreasing the number of beers you have to drink, or the number of, the amount of alcohol you have to drink to reach it. Critics argue that lowering the legal limit to 0.05 would mean that most people could consume, the most a person could consume is just a single drink. And Mothers Against Drunk Driving contended that sobriety checkpoints and ignition interlock laws would save more lives than lower alcohol limits. I'm all for it. Typically, if I go out drinking and I know that I have to drive later, yeah, I'm only going to have one drink. Or if it's over a long period of time, like if I'm at some sort of big event and I eat a lot of food and I'm there for a minimum of 2 hours, yeah, I'll drink two. But yeah, typically if I just go to a restaurant or something, like if Thursday night I go out for, go out on date night, it happens. We'll both limit ourselves to a drink so that just in case for some reason one of us exceptionally hard, we don't feel comfortable driving, the other one can. So yeah, I'm all about it. Last news story, a policeman dressed as a giraffe takes down a shoplifter fleeing from a TK Maxx. Some may stop bank robbers, other might be out confronting bad drivers, but not many will be flooring an alleged shoplifter while dressed as a giraffe. Yes, a giraffe. But that's exactly what happened when an off-duty policeman, Ben Perkins, spotted a man fleeing from a store while he was dressed in a wild animal, as a wild animal on a bar crawl. After seeing the would-be thief running out of a TK Maxx in Brixton, South London, Perkins decided that he couldn't quite give up his day job. He and several of his friends, who by the way were also dressed up as giraffes, ran after the man alongside a pair of security guards from the shop. Eventually the group, who without a doubt squad goals, pinned the alleged robber to the ground while police were called to the scene. PC Perkins later tweeted a picture of the bizarre scene and said, "Not sure if this is a hashtag life goal or not, but just assisted at Lambeth MPS detained shoplifter once dressed as a hashtag giraffe and hashtag Brixton. Hashtag never off duty. Since being uploaded yesterday, the picture has been shared dozens of times. Lambeth MPS even took the time to simply reply, "Nice caller, well done for sticking your neck out." I've never caught a shoplifter. All my years in working in retail, well, I've done some investigative work. I've helped the police catch a shoplifter. But I've never, you know, actively tackled a person to the ground, and I'm going to tell you why. Unless you're a trained police officer or you're, your loss prevention, you're a security guard, whatever you called it, your job. Don't. You never know what that person's carrying. They might be carrying a weapon, whether it be a knife, a gun, some sort of object that they can fashion to harm you with. Or, you know what, if you chase after him, just chasing after him, you can get injured. One company story that constantly went around in my first job was somebody chased after a shoplifter. In the process, they were running, they slipped, and they hit their head against some concrete blocks, splitting their head open, and they died. So, leave it to the professionals. Congrats, round of applause to this police officer. Again, way to stick your neck out there, dude, dressed up as a giraffe. But don't try to be a hero unless you're trained. You're listening to The Buzz on 89.9 KGRJ-FM. I still have those real big fish tickets if you call me at 253-833-5004 or message me at TheBuzzKGRG on Facebook, on Twitter. I'll hook you up with the tickets. Again, that's real big fish tickets, 253-833-5004. We're going to play some Waking Things next. And then we'll be back with your six-pack.
You're listening to KGRG 89.9 FM, today's rock. Now it's time to sit back, relax, and crack open a six-pack with The Buzz.
Love it when you press those buttons correctly, right? You're listening to The Buzz on 89.9 KGRG FM. That was Burnout by The Morning After. If you missed the release show, that was last week on Saturday. Man, you missed out on a party. It was a ton of fun. I was there. T2 was there from All Request Fridays. Ton of people were there. I had a ton of fun. But if you missed those ladies, you can catch them again this Saturday. They're doing a benefit show. You can catch all the information for that on our Facebook page and our Twitter, at TheBuzzKGRG. They're worth a check out. They rock hard. They're awesome. But it's time for our six-pack, our top six list of things that are awesome. Occasionally not so awesome. This morning's, it'll make you never want to use the bathroom again. Not gonna lie. It is absolutely terrifying. It is the top six toilet terrors. Man, I swear to God, you always have a sound effect for this, but you can never get the timing right, right? There we go. So, we have those creepy critters that decide to crawl up through the plumbing, and yeah, it's pretty terrifying. Number six on our six-pack. Hey, I can relate to this little guy. The cork rat attack. That's right, the cork rat attack. In April 2016, a toilet rat attacked an elderly Irishman in his home in Middleton. He was rushed to County Cork Hospital for bites on his backside. A plumber discovered a broken pipe nearby. The likely entry point, the attack caused panic. Following floods, Cork has been plagued by a rat infestation. Some propose dumping poison into the sewer system, but that could potentially contaminate the water sources. Homeowners have been warned to keep their toilet seats down when not in use. Rats swim up toilets when terrified frequency. They're unable to climb up the sheer walls of pipes, however. Ground floor and basement apartments tend to have pipes with horizontal or gradually sloping angles, making them easily to penetrate. Penthouses are equally vulnerable. One janitor revealed that every toilet rat that he has come across has been on the top floor apartments. They likely enter in through the pipes on the roof. Absolutely terrifying. Number five in our six pack, the top six most terrifying toilet terrors are I'm not going to say the actual word. It is the junk munching python. Obviously, the actual word rhymes a little bit better, but it's the junk munching python for number five. In May of 2016, a 10-foot python crawled up a commode and bit a Thai man's junk off. Upon arriving at the scene, and I can't even say that word. Oh my God, Chakanojasau, sure. Province emergency workers discovered the snake's head tied to the bathroom door with the rest of the beast stuck in the toilet. They had to dismantle the commode to free the serpent. Athaporn Boon Maka, sorry dude, age 38, was rushed to a nearby Kolrat hospital. Both he and the snake survived. One rescue worker reported that he has seen countless snakes in toilets, but never seen one go for the junk. They revealed that he checked the toilet bowl before squatting. He grabbed the python's neck to prevent it from taking him down. Quote, at first, I thought my junk was gone, but he managed to pry open the beast's jaws. His wife and neighbor covered the snake's head with a plastic bag. The snake was released into the wild. And this thing is massive. The picture I'm looking at, it's barely sticking out of the toilet. I could only imagine. He decided to pop a squat when he had to go pee, and to each their own, I guess. I stand up like a normal dude does, so I could see the snake coming, but oh my God, I could only imagine. Number five in our toilet terror six-pack, the toilet paper addicted kangaroo. In September 2016, an Australian man filmed a kangaroo eating toilet paper in a Dreamland Island public toilet. According to the University of New South Wales kangaroo expert David Croft, the critter was likely attracted to the cool temperature of the toilet block. The bathroom not only provided shade, but also water and plenty of fiber. Dr. Croft revealed that kangaroos often eat cardboard boxes, so toilet paper is not that much removed from the former and perhaps a softer option. However, he pointed out that the toilet paper, quote, is not a preferred food. A month later, the same kangaroo was filmed eating toilet paper again. In both videos, the kangaroo blazed about the presence of humans. Dreamland Island is a popular tourist destination, and the resident marsupials may have developed a tolerance to people. Some believe that the critter has developed an addiction to the easy meal of toilet paper. I'm going to share something a little weird. As a kid, I actually I ate paper. First time I did it for a bet. Second time it was just sort of a party track or trick. Third time for fun. And I don't blame people for being afraid of kangaroos. When I went to Tennessee on a different family trip, we went to a petting zoo. And yeah, in Tennessee, I guess they have petting zoos with kangaroos. This sucker was freaking jacked. Like, had muscles for days. It was a dude kangaroo, and how do I know that? Well, when he went to urinate, he tried to urinate on anybody passing by. Anybody being me. He reared back on his back tail, and he tried to shoot an arc at me. Yeah, kangaroos are jerks. And they could definitely, they could beat me up. I'd be afraid to take a kick from a kangaroo. But that was our top, that was number 6, 5, and 4 actually of our top 6 toilet terrors. Number 6 being the rat that decided to pop up a toilet in Ireland and bite a guy on the backside. Number 5 was the junk munching python in Thailand. Number 4 was a toilet addicted kangaroo, or toilet paper addicted kangaroo. We'll be back with part 2, with numbers 3, 2, and 1. After Blood by Dropkick Murphys. You're listening to The Buzz.
And now, back to the six pack.
KJRG FM, KJRG FM, HD1 Auburn, also broadcasting on K207 AP Sumner Lake Taps, 89.3 FM. You're listening to The Buzz, and we're in part 2 of our six pack, our top 6 list of things that are awesome. This morning's is definitely not so awesome as the top 6 toilet terrors. Cases of animals popping up in restrooms and making you afraid to ever want to use the bathroom again. Quick recap, number 6 was the cork toilet rat attack. Rat decided to pop up in a toilet in Cork, Ireland and bite a guy in his backside. Number 5 was the junk munching python from Thailand who... This guy decided to sit down, go pee, and when he came up, there was a snake where his trouser snake should have been if you catch my drift. Ayo! Thank you, I'll be here all week. And then number four was a kangaroo in the Dreamland Island of Australia who was addicted to toilet paper. Now, kangaroos might not sound terrifying, but they're a little bit more terrifying when they try to pee at you or you realize they're big enough to beat you up. Let's go ahead and get into number 3, which includes the unluckiest man in Australia, because, you know, everything in Australia is trying to kill you. In September 2016, a spider bit a specific Australian man on the junk for the second time that year. The attack came as the 21-year-old was using a portable bathroom in Sydney construction site. Jordan, whose last name was not given, knew the familiar sting. He rushed to the hospital for treatment. The previous bite in April also occurred in a portable bathroom. Jordan was wary of using portable toilets. However, he revealed the toilets got clean that day, and he thought it was his opportunity to go use one. Jordan investigated both seats, but found nothing. He is unaware of what spider bit him, but was treated with redback spider antivenom, also known as the black widow spider. Redbacks are a relative of the black widow, which they closely resemble. Over 2,000 Australians are bit every year by this common arachnid. However, getting bitten twice in the junk within 12 months is astronomically unlucky. I remember the first time I thought I had a spider bite. It ended up just being a skin infection was equally gross, right? And sorry for eating breakfast right now. But spider bite on the junk. I mean, maybe you can convince somebody to suck out the poison? Oh, that just sucks, though. And yeah, I have a hard enough time as it is wanting to use a portable bathroom or a porta potty, as I'm known up here in the States. Sandy can if you're older. Especially if I got bit once, I'd say hell no. I see a spider web in my house and I freak the hell out. Number 2, this one is a little creepy. It's the Mississippi toilet mystery. Yeehaw! That's right. In September 18th, 2015, after returning from their honeymoon, a couple discovered a mysterious creature in the toilet of their home in Clinton, Mississippi. However, homeowner Ronald Morris described it as a big brown mass. And besides this, had ears and whiskers on it. It was very shocking. Some are convinced it was a squirrel. Others insist it was a rat. Local plumbers believe the animal got trapped inside the bowl and was poisoned in search of fresh water. Skeen Plumbing and Gas's Richard Parker revealed how easy it was for these critters to enter our abodes. Where they get wet is where they get pee. Trap is inside the toilet that keeps the methane gas out. So all they had to do was, or all they have to do is a little bitty 2-second swim and they're in the bowl. Parker recommends a check valve which allows waste to exit the bowl but nothing to climb back in. And for those of you who caught last week's six pack of the way people died in Greece, allowing methane to not enter is a good thing because that's how toilets explode. How do you not identify what that is? It's just a mass of hair with ears. Like, why not at least pull it out and try to identify it? You'd think that'd be a thing. Number one, our top six, toilet terrors. You guessed it's another snake-related incident. The Arlington Anaconda. In January, the Animal Welfare League discovered a 4-foot-long anaconda in the toilet of Arlington, Virginia apartment. The snake was a juvenile. It's a juvenile. Dude, I'm 6 feet tall. This thing, just a baby, 4 feet long. Adults can reach up to 13 feet, over 100 pounds, and if not well socialized, can be extremely dangerous. Their natural habitats are wet areas like swamps and marshes, which may explain its attraction to the toilet. Anacondas are not poisonous, but they are powerful constrictors that crush their prey. The Animal Welfare League's Chelsea Lindsay believes that someone in the building owned the snake. If not properly secured, the serpents can easily escape. The other possibility is that the snake was abandoned in the building. It was possibly chasing food like mice and rats through the sewage system. It's illegal to keep anacondas as pets. Quote, they get very large, Lindsay warned. The average person is not going to be able to handle a snake like this. And with constrictors, again, unless they're handled ahead of time, they'll break your freaking arm, man. No joke. And with any exotic animal like this, or heck, even any regular pet, before you get a pet, make sure you can take care of it. It's most common with reptiles where they can't take care of it and they don't know where to dispose of it, because if you try to dispose of it, you'll get arrested because you have to have permits for those things. So, you know, they'll flush them down the toilet or just abandon them in a swamp or whatever. That's where you get the urban legend of alligators crawling around the New York sewers because somebody decided to flush them down the toilet there. Keep track of your animals. Make sure you take care of them. And if you can't take care of them, try to find somebody who can. But just know ahead of time whether or not you can take care of an animal. That's what I can say about that. When we adopted our dog Emmett down at the Auburn Humane Society, shout out to those guys. It's a very thorough vetting process to make sure that we had room for the dog. He's a big dog, too, so he needs a lot of room to play, that he could socialize with our roommate's dog and all that stuff. So we had to make sure we could take care of him, so they did their due diligence, and I'd like to think he's a happy dog. Luckily, he's not a toilet terror. He just gets real concerned when I go to the bathroom. Poor guy gets upset. But those are top six toilet terrors on 89.9 KGRG-FM. Call us 253-833-5004 or message me at TheBuzzKJRG on Twitter, on Facebook. Up next, after Marsalis, they're going to be playing Crocodile soon. Talk about animals being flushed down toilets. We're going to be talking about snowpocalypse stories. So what did you do during this year's snowpocalypse, or what do you do? What have you done in past snow days to enjoy it? Okay, we'll talk about those stories next. You're listening to The Buzz. 89.9 KGRG FM. That was Mid-20 Skateboarder by Pew Pew Pew. Or as it's spelled, PQ PQ PQ. I think that's how it's pronounced. Anyways, you can catch them this Saturday with Real Big Fish. Unfortunately, I gave away all the tickets. You gotta be a little bit quicker next time. I still have tickets to see that screening of Shaun of the Dead, though, if you want those. Giving those away in about 10 minutes. But let's talk about our snowpocalypse stories, because for those of you who don't live in the area, or maybe you're out of state, like my buddy Christian up there in Ohio, we got a lot of snow. a lot of snow, depending on where you're at, is anywhere from like, I heard the lowest amount of being like 3 inches all the way up to like 14 inches, which for this area, it's a lot. We'll get that maybe once every few years. I think the last time we had anything remotely this bad was, I want to say 5 years or so ago, maybe six, when we had such a bad snowstorm. I was living in Puyallup at the time. If any of my Puyallup homies are listening, you'll remember this. It shut down downtown Puyallup. Like, power was out everywhere. Street lights were out. Everything. The only food available was Don's Drive-In across the street from the fairgrounds. And literally everybody and their mother was there trying to get food. It was awful. It was also like the same. It was the same weekend as my birthday. And my girlfriend at the time bought me an ice cream cake, ironically enough. But we couldn't pick it up because the place with the cake was closed. Worst birthday ever. And as I've grown up, I've been able to enjoy the snow less and less. As Mike from the Monday Project, as he often says, I'm an adult. And being an adult, you know what? You get to play in the snow a little bit less. Sure, there are those people who have children and they get to play with their kids, but I am a childless adult, luckily, so far. Maybe I might have kids later on, but I don't play in the snow. It's just sort of an annoyance now. Like, I had to drive in that stuff when it was coming down. Sunday morning, Saturday night, whatever the heck that was. No, it was Sunday night, Monday morning. I had to drive from Tacoma to Bellevue, and I thought I was going to die. About 90% of the way to 405, I was just like, no, this is how I go. It was terrifying. When I was younger, there was, I used to sled a ton. My mom, in her garage, she still has it today. There's a two-person sled, big old red sled. It was great. And we actually went to a place where it was a housing development that was still under construction. So there were a bunch of hills. At the bottom of the hill, if you went the wrong way, you ended up on a giant frozen puddle. Almost, like, not quite lake size. As a kid, it seemed like a lake. But it was definitely, like, it was knee level. So good, like, foot and a half deep. Best time of my life. I also remember, this is 2011. There was one time where my dad took me shooting. Best time of my life. We broke in some of his new guns. He had an AR we shot. We built snowmen, and then we took his shotgun and we shot the snowmen. Best feeling in the world. Like, if you've never shot a snowman point blank with a shotgun, do it safely, but it's a ton of fun. I'll see if I can't find the pictures and put it on our Facebook. At one point, I forgot what gun it was. I think it was a 30-06. I thought it'd be all cool and, you know, go down on one knee and look down the scope. We had a target downrange, and when I pulled the trigger, I only weighed like 110 pounds at the time, so the kick of the gun ended up having me land on my ass. And because it was, you know, obviously snowing outside, my butt got a little wet. It sucked. But again, wouldn't trade that time for anything in the world. My favorite time in the snow, looking back, it has to be when I was spending it with other people. When I'm by myself, it sucked. Again, driving during the night while it was snowing just to get to work, I probably should have just called in, but it was terrifying. Our buddy Adam from Marsalis is going to be playing the Crocodile come up here soon next month, but he messaged me and said that one of his friends was driving. I'll post the article up on our Facebook page as well. A tree fell on his truck while he was driving. Adam said, luckily the guy's okay, but yeah, while he was driving, a tree fell on him. It was awful. I could only imagine changing lanes while I was driving in my truck. Most terrifying thing in my life, because a couple of times ago, the truck got a little squirrely, and I tried to keep my distance from other, especially semi-trucks. There are a ton of semi-trucks for some reason. And if you checked out our Instagram, you'll notice that I posted up a video. There's still a ton of snow on campus right now. It stopped people from going to class. I know that our production class here at Green River College, our radio production class, they were planning on taking a field trip up to Hubbard Radio. That got delayed because of the snow. And I know a lot of people end up missing out on work. Luckily, my work runs 24/7, 365, or as our general manager Tom says, 367 on leap years. But they lost time from work. That's paid time they'll never get back unless they use a vacation time or a personal day or something. And that's a bummer. And as an adult growing up, that's a very real possibility. That's a thing that happens. It sucks trying to go to school, trying to take classes, something that once you get into college you pay for and you're trying to get done as soon as possible because you don't want to make those days up. That's the thing. But snow can be fun too. Call me, 253-833-5004. Let me know how you enjoyed the snow. Or if you even did this hashtag snowpocalypse. I'm going to post up some pictures of me enjoying the snow and some pictures of my truck from this year's snowpocalypse. And yeah, let me know. 253-833-5004 at the BuzzKJRG on Facebook, on Twitter, and on Instagram. We'll be back with the news after another band that was at the Morning After's release party. It was Locomotive with Lose It.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news. Breaking news.
Breaking news.
This hour's news is brought to you by KJRG Presents Real Big Fish at Showbox. They're going to be playing with Anti-Flag, Ballyhoo, and Pew Pew Pew. I still don't know how to pronounce that, but hey, whatever. On Saturday, February 11th, show starts at 8 p.m. And if you don't already have your tickets, I got none to give away, man. I'm sorry, I gave them away. Shout out to Kenny. He called in and won them. But that was my only pair. We'll see what we have tomorrow for tickets. We always have stuff to give away. But in the meantime, let's get into some news. This morning's, this last round, it's a little interesting. We will start off with a thief, actually group of thieves, who stole $3.7 million worth of Jaguar Land Rover engines. Now, this is impressive on a few different fronts. Anybody who's ever tried to replace an engine out of a truck, my dad's a mechanic, so I've had plenty of experience, or mechanical experience, in his place, helping him with various projects. Engine blocks are heavy. You have to have you have to have equipment to remove them. And Land Rovers, they're not cheap. But this past Tuesday was not a good one for a Jaguar Land Rover. According to British news source Birmingham Mail, just over $3.7 million worth of engines were stolen from the company's factory in Southall, England. Reportedly, the thieves drove up to the facility in a stolen semi-truck, found a trailer full of engines, hooked it up, and drove off. The thieves did this twice in one night with the same truck and got the trailer in just got the first trailer in 6 minutes. Perhaps more shocking is that the Birmingham Mail reports this is the second time a theft of this type has occurred at the facility. The previous time happened in almost exactly the same way, but the engines were taken valued at just over $1.2 million, and five people are convicted of the crime. Currently, local police are looking for the latest suspects and the engines. The trailers were found, but empty. Now, I recently had a car that had a head gasket blowout. And for those of you who don't know or have never had to replace an engine, those things aren't cheap. And again, nor are they relatively light. So the fact that they got away with this not once but twice is relatively impressive. I don't commend them for it, but it's impressive. Next news story, we're going to go a little local with this one. A man posing as an FBI agent robs nearly $130,000 from Seattle Money Wiring Services. Inside Red Seattle Finance, a money wiring service tucked into a Central District shopping mall, the knock sounded at the gate just after 7 p.m. on January 25th. The employee opened the interior door to be greeted by a suit-clad man wearing the other side, standing on the other side of the security gate. The stranger flashed a badge and said he was quote-unquote FBI, so the employee let him in, according to a Seattle police report. After entering the small carpeted office, the man said he was investigating a bad transaction from earlier in the day and needed to see all the daily transactions. The report said the stranger then produced a piece of paper that said search warrant. The interaction quickly degraded. The stranger pulled out a handgun and ordered the man to empty the safe. He walked out of Red Seattle Financial with 128 $1,259.10 in cash and a computer which houses surveillance video images, according to police. Seattle police and the FBI are investigating jointly. So, my first retail job, we actually had a Western Union service that we did, and the first thing they told us was, literally don't believe anybody of anything, unless they are, and even if they are do look official, contact somebody first. If it is an actual official person, they'll have no problem waiting a little bit longer for you to verify their story. Especially if you're close. If you're close like that, definitely call the police or something first. And typically it's going to be local police who investigate these matters, and then they'll hand it off to another bureau if it really requires that much work. But it's another thing that we tell our 110 students, if you want to join Journalism 110 and get on the radio in 2 weeks, greenriver.edu, just plugging that out there. I know that registration has already started, so sign up for those classes. But in Journalism 110, the first thing we teach our journalism students, or our new ones, is if we have a Federal Communications Commission person come up, nobody will ever call on the phone. They'll come up in person, they'll have a badge, they'll look official. But always question everything. I feel really sorry. I understand getting intimidated like that. So if you had a job like that out there, even if you're just a retail clerk or anything that has to deal with money, be safe out there, dudes. Last news story we have, and this is something I can identify with. You can learn a lot of neat things on YouTube, like this 25-year-old fake dentist who ran his own dental clinic after picking up skills he found on YouTube. Turns out the dentistry is so easy that anyone can do it. Case in point, 25-year-old Mohamed Iran Mohad Sudi from Kuantan, Malaysia, who used YouTube videos and dentistry magazines to hone his skills to the point where he was able to open his own dental clinic and perform various procedures. Instead of spending 6 years in dental school to pick up the necessary skills to become a licensed dentist, Iran decided to take a different route. He learned all he needed to perform procedures like tooth extraction, teeth scaling, and placing braces by watching all kinds of video tutorials on YouTube and reading dentistry magazines. It's not clear exactly how much time he put into honing his skills, but apparently he became so confident in his abilities that at one point he opened his own unauthorized dental clinic in Sendapurna. Honestly, that's pretty impressive. And I've personally done a little bit of YouTubing. You can learn a lot of really easy car repairs off of YouTube, a lot of really neat computer skills off of YouTube. Whenever I have any sort of problems with a game system, like if it freezes, or just to make sure it's not a major issue, I'll YouTube it. Again, there's a lot of neat stuff on YouTube. Most recently, I learned how to repair my power windows that wouldn't roll back up. That was a really, really cruddy adventure, but you know what? I just sort of looked up the instructions on YouTube. Don't think I have the steady hands or, to be honest, the charisma to pull off something like this, dude. So, congratulations to him. Now, opening up a dental clinic without a medical license is illegal. Would not recommend. We at The Buzz do not recommend taking legal action, but if you want to put on your own braces, what's stopping you, right? That was the news on 89.9 KGRG-FM. You've been listening to The Buzz, and after Naivety by A Day to Remember, we're going to get out of here. That was Dwell by Local Southworth on 89.9 KGRG-FM. But unfortunately, it's getting to be that time where, I can't believe I'm saying this, luckily I get to venture out into the cold and get the hell out of this furnace of a studio. I have been baking alive up here for the last 3 hours, and I do this because I love you guys. I enjoy this, and I do this for free, and I do this for fun. But I feel like I'm gonna die. So, without further ado, it's time to say goodbye. If you want to catch this episode or our past episodes, you can check out KGRG.com or the official KGRG-FM app. You can contact me at any time, like, all this stuff goes to my phone, so I'm pretty quick to, you know, answer any questions or just sort of talk to people. It's at TheBuzzKGRG on Facebook, on Twitter, and on Instagram. Share your snowpocalypse stories. I want to hear those. How do you enjoy hanging out in the snow? Do you not like the snow like current grown-up Cork? Let me know. That's at the Buzz KGRGFM. But until tomorrow morning, bright and early, 6 a.m., as long as the snow doesn't stop me, you've been listening to The Buzz.